Daniel, the 9th, 11th, and 12th chapter. It's quite often looked at as prophecy, the foretelling of the end of time. Jesus, in Matthew, the 24th chapter, in verse 15, says that that was not the case. But yet there are those that will use the remainder of that text that Jesus gives in Matthew 24, still with a view toward the end of time. And then we have portions of Acts, the 2nd chapter, that were in our reading today by Joseph. And we will notice this in the lesson this morning, that people are still looking to in connection with the end of time. But the statement that is made in the first part of Acts, the 2nd chapter, in verse 16, is, "This is that." I want you to consider with me the context of "this is that" that Peter was saying as he refers back, of course, as we know, to Joel, the 2nd chapter, verse 28 through 32. And the importance to understand that, of what Peter is talking about and what he is referring to, and the occasion, the setting there on the day of Pentecost when it was fully come, and what was said after that, is really the foundation of everything that Jesus had said in Matthew, the 16th chapter, in verse 18. "I will build my church. I will build my called out body." And it has to do with the hope that each and every one of us have based upon Christ Jesus. Because we all understand, as Paul said in Romans, the 3rd chapter, in verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But yet there's a hope that is given that took place beginning on this day, the day of Pentecost, that is described to us in Acts, the 2nd chapter. And not only that, but we see from that entire context the proper attitude that we are to have in worship unto God. I want you to notice the "this is that" in context. And then at the end of our discussion of the context, I pray that each and every one of us present here today will make application of what took place on this day, almost 2,000 years ago, the day of Pentecost, AD 30. First of all, the statement is made. This, as we noticed in verse 16, the first part of verse 16 of Acts 2. And what that is describing there in the first part of verse 16 is this that is given to us in Acts 2, verses 4 through 12. It says there, "When they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages, and the Spirit gave them utterance." And of course, this is in connection with the apostles. And as we're going to see, the promise that had been given to them that went on before, prior to this day. But here you have them being endowed with the power from on high. Verse 5, "And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation of those under heaven. And when this sound occurred," that is, the Spirit leading the apostles that day and speaking in different languages by the miraculous gifts of the Spirit, says the multitude came together and were confounded because they were hearing each one speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and were marveling, saying to one another, "Behold, are not all these who are speaking Galileans?" And the reason that they marveled at that is that the Galileans were notorious for being uneducated. And so it would not have been the norm for them to be able to speak all these different languages because they did not have a proper education, neither a higher education that would give them the ability to do that. And it goes on and says, "And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" This is what is being described of in Acts 16 chapter, the very first part. This is that. This is what was taking place that is described there. And we look at all the different places where these Jews had come from, because they were there for the days of the unleavened bread, and many of them stayed then for 50 days. And we're still assembled on the day of Pentecost when this took place. And it says, we hear, verse 11, we hear them speaking in our own tongue the mighty deeds of God. What was being stated in the languages that they were hearing in their own native language was not some garble that they could not understand, but rather some sort of teaching from God in connection with the promises that God had given, and I believe specifically through Christ Jesus, as the context goes on. So they were all amazed and perplexed and saying to one another, verse 12, what does this mean? And this is the this that starts or is described in what is stated by Peter there in Acts 2nd chapter, verse 16, the very first part. This is that. And we see this from Matthew, the 3rd chapter, in verse 11, wherever John was baptizing, and he prophesied, he spake and taught and proclaimed that he indeed baptized with water unto repentance, but that there was one that was coming that was mightier than he, whose shoes he was not able to bear, and he would baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And especially, I want you to note, baptism of the Holy Spirit. That it was in connection with this that we see in Acts, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 and following on down through verse 12, how the Spirit came to them in a miraculous way, separate apart without the intervention of man being involved, directly from God, and they were filled with the Spirit and miraculous works at that time that allowed them to do this that is described in those passages. It's exactly what Jesus had said to them in Luke, the 24th chapter, before he ascended into heaven, after he had been with them for 40 days on this earth, showing himself alive to all. He said unto them, Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 46, also verses 48 and 49, he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and you are witnesses of these things, of what I have done, and behold, I will send the promise of my Father upon you. You stay in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. This took place that day that Peter is referencing in Acts, the 2nd chapter, the first part of verse 16. He's referencing what is taking place, where inspiration has come to man and the ability to confirm the Word of God by the signs that followed them. This is that. But also, there was a negative involved in this context. And we see in Acts, the 2nd chapter, verse 13 through 15, others were mocking and saying, they are full of new wine, they are drunken. And you can imagine why some might say this, because in this large crowd of people with 12 men speaking different languages all at the same time, there would be confusion by those that would not understand other than their own native tongue. And so they mocked and said, well, these are drunken. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spoke to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, he says, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. He is saying, this which you are hearing by the power of God, the mighty works of God being spoken and declared and proclaimed unto you, is not drunkenness. It's not that. But he also says this, or rather, as we look back, I think Paul really gives a commentary on this. And what was taking place this day is exactly what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 7 through 9. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, they that be drunken are drunken in the night, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And what those apostles were doing that day showed forth, beginning at that point, in the this that is in consideration, that the Lord Jesus Christ was Jesus of Nazareth that they had crucified on the cross. Peter then says, this then is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What you are witnessing at that time, at this time rather, is exactly that was spoken by the prophet Joel. You are witnessing fulfillment of prophecy. And I believe that what he's saying to them, as he goes on through his lesson, the foundation of that prophecy is Jesus of Nazareth that you crucified. And I want you to notice what is involved in the this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. He says in Acts, the second chapter, verse 17 and 18. And this, again, is a direct quotation beginning in verse 28 of Joel, the second chapter. And it shall be in the last days, Joel said, as Peter is telling the group there, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my servants and on my handmaids, in those days will I pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And what Peter is saying is, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel in what you are witnessing beginning this day. And beginning that day and carrying on until the need for the miraculous works were ended, this was seen. We go back to Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord at one place. Suddenly there came a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, likened as a fire to set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And what followed after that still is in light and in connection of the this is that which they had seen and witnessed in Jerusalem of those 12 men at that time. And we see it as we go later on into the New Testament. Acts 11 chapter and verse 28. There stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great drought throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Here you have a prophet prophesying. But he also mentions women. He also mentions the females involved in this. And we see that in Acts 21, verses 8 through 9. It says, in the next day, and this is as Paul's returning from his third preaching journey going to Jerusalem, it says, the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, going back to Acts 6 chapter, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. On that day, on the day of Pentecost, the fulfillment was complete and carried out as the years went on and as time went on, and seen in others also beside the apostles, but by the power of God. By the power of God. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And here he's talking about the means given to preach the word, to confirm the word. And not only that, but also to build each other up, as we see in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 8 and following. But also, this is that in connection with, there will be signs and wonders before that day. I want you to note, he says, the signs and wonders before that day. In this particular context, we have to understand the statement that is made here, before that day. And we're going to identify that day. Because there are those that are out there still looking for the completion, the fulfillment of what is stated here in verses 19 and 20. Thinking that it has not come to pass. And again, it is still the quote from Joel, the second chapter, verse 28 through 32. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord come, that great and notable day. American Standard Version. And there are those that will look at that, and I'm afraid even some brethren say, well, we can't wait for that day to come. Remember the premise of what was stated here by Peter. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So, was this something in the future? Or was it something that took place? Consider this. Before the day, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Acts, the second chapter, verse 1 through 4. We think about what took place before that day. And think back with me as it applies to what Joel says in Joel, the second chapter, verse 28 through 32. I will show wonders in the heavens, signs in the earth. Think back. Matthew, the 27th chapter, verse 45. Don't we see that which is very much like what Joel speaks of in connection with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? Matthew 27, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. There was an event that took place that was God caused on that day. And I believe when we look at what was being done by God on that day with the darkness that was upon the face of the earth, it was a dark hour. Because for your sin and for mine and all those who had ever lived and for all those who would ever live, the Son of God, pure, innocent, perfect, without sin, was placed upon that cross and nailed there as a sacrifice for us. It was a dark hour. And I think that the condition of that day stated the dire and sad condition that caused Jesus Christ to go to the cross, as described here in Matthew 27. But also we see in John the 19th chapter and verse 34. This is after Jesus has died. And as you remember the account in the other Gospels, the soldiers went and break the legs of the thieves that were hanging on either side of Jesus in order to hurry their death, because the Jews wanted them taken down before the Passover. They came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead. Howbeit, one of the soldiers with a spear, John 19, verse 34, pierced his side, and straightway there came out blood and water. And we see that blood is involved in the prophecy of Joel. And this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. Before that day, the day of Pentecost, this would take place. And it did. And the shedding of blood by Christ Jesus on the cross was made for the remission of our sins, for our forgiveness. We also see in Matthew 27, verse 51 through 53, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And we see great and terrible things and wonderful things taking place. And all in connection with the proclamation of Jesus of Nazareth being Messiah. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. Before the day of Pentecost, these things shall take place. We understand he's not talking about the future. It was that which took place, and which Peter is describing through the prophecy of Joel as evidence for Jesus of Nazareth being the one that they had been looking for, the Messiah. But we also see Acts 2 and verse 21. This is that, whosoever shall call on the Lord shall be saved. And we see that as we look in this passage. And we understand that's exactly what Jesus had told them to do on that day, the day of Pentecost. And that was to preach the word of God. In that repentance, verse 47 and 49, he tells the apostles, you tarry in Jerusalem until you're endowed with power from on high, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then we come back where Oscar left off in his reading this morning. And none of this was planned, but it certainly worked out well. And we see what was stated then by these men that came to an understanding that their sin put Jesus on the cross. And these men came to an understanding that they were in a hopeless and helpless situation. because they had crucified the Son of God. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, he says in Acts 2 and verse 36, that that same Jesus whom you have crucified is both Lord and Christ. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We have crucified the Son of God. What can we possibly do to receive forgiveness? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Speaking of eternal life. And in verse 39, for the promise is to you and your children, to all them that are far off, as many as our Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added about 3,000 souls. Peter says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that which is glory for you. This is that which gives you hope. This, what you see today, is by the plan of God, set forth by God before the foundation of the world. This is that that is taking place. This is that which will result in your instruction in the Lord. Just as Paul speaks of in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable by doctrine, by reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped unto every good work. And that this came about not by the will of men, but by, as Peter says in 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, verses 16 through the end of the chapter, but rather men were moved, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, they spake forth and wrote down the words that were given them. When you go back and you look at the plan of salvation and you see how it was carried out, you have to understand that this day, on the day of Pentecost, was the beginning of it all for salvation. Not only to those that lived 2,000 years ago, but those who would ever live upon this earth. That means for you and for me. Here's the application. On that day, 2,000 years ago, the prophecy of Joel that had been given 800 years before the day of Pentecost was fulfilled. It was completed that day. And we understand the importance of that when we think about it for a moment. There's not going to be another word that is given, another prophecy that is given by God. It is complete and good as done on that day, because it was the fulfillment of what Joel had said in the 2nd chapter, verse 28 through 32. It was done just as God intended. And God is determined not to work miracles through the agency of men anymore, but rather what He has done is given us His Word. And it has been confirmed and recorded for us in Scripture by those signs that followed them. Mark the 16th chapter and verse 20. It should come to our mind, we don't need anything else. We've got God's Word. The instruction has been given. As a matter of fact, when we think about it, we have everything that they have, except now in a completed form, all in one place. We've got that. The Savior of the world, 2,000 years ago, on that day, the day of Pentecost, was presented to the world. Jesus of Nazareth. You don't need to look for another. There's not going to be a latter-day Savior. There's not a need for latter-day saints. You are in Christ now when you are obedient to Him. No matter when you live, you are saints in the proper time and in the proper place. And it took place on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. On that day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, the truth of God was manifest. It was made known. It was made known. Because all that had gone on before, even the prophecy, as we see in Joel 2nd chapter, verse 28 through 32, was fulfilled that day. But not only that one, every prophecy. You remember that after Jesus' resurrection, on two separate occasions, one time to the two men that were walking with him that were from on the road to Emmaus. He opened their understanding of what had been stated in the Psalms and in the prophets and in the law. And just shortly after that, wherever he comes then to the 11, Judas already being dead at this time, he does the same thing again. He opens their understanding that they might understand the scriptures to show that everything that he did was fulfilled. And on that day, 2,000 years ago, that is made known unto each and every one of us and those that will ever live as long as time is in existence. It was fulfilled. And we also see 2,000 years ago on that day of Pentecost that we have the means of salvation given. And men can look in Scripture and try to find other ways to be saved, but what was stated here in answer to the men's question of verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, what must we do? Verse 38 given is in line and in prophecy and is in context and is in action of everything else that is revealed in God's word of how one must become a child of God. And it was fulfilled on that day 2,000 years ago. On that day 2,000 years ago, it wasn't just for the Jews. It wasn't just for those that were awaiting the day of Pentecost. It wasn't just for those that had been there for 50 days. It was done for you and for me on that day 2,000 years ago. So that we would have a hope. So that we would have forgiveness of sin. So that we would have relationship with the Lord and with the Father as children of God and sons of God. And it happened on that day. This is that that we read of as described in Acts 2nd chapter for our hope of salvation. Let me ask you, will you accept and honor God and what He has done for you? There's the application to this. It's what we do with it. We can look at this and we say, well, that's a great historical record. Happened 2,000 years ago. Well, what does that have to do with me? As long as this earth stands, it is for the salvation of your soul. It's given unto you. Because whether you realize it or not, if you're not a child of God, you need to be asking the same question that those men asked that day 2,000 years ago in verse 37. Men and brethren, what must we do? Talking about salvation. Because you are guilty of the blood and the body of Christ Jesus. There would not have been a need for him to be a sacrifice if any man could live perfectly, and no man can. But we all fall short. We all sin. And so that day 2,000 years ago, is it for someone else? Forget everyone else in this. Be selfish, if you will, at this point in time in thinking about this. And the application, be selfish, and I mean a righteous selfishness. What must I do? And the answer comes, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And even though that was done 2,000 years ago, that answer is still the same today, and we are ready and prepared to assist you in rendering obedience unto God and receiving the salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins, this day. But then we also have another application in connection with that, and that is those of us that have already become children of God, are we living the type of life thinking back to what was done, that this is that, on that day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago? Or are we saying, well, that happened 2,000 years ago, but now things are different? No, things are not different. And as we see following after those events, the day of Pentecost in Acts the 2nd chapter verse 42 and following, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers. They understood what Christ Jesus did for them upon the cross. And I will suggest to you that if we're not living the Christian life as we should, we have forgotten that day and we've forgotten our Lord. And we need to ask forgiveness of our sins. And we need to be in step with the gospel and with Christ Jesus and what he would have us to do for him because of what he has done for us. This is that. It's been described to us. It's done. It is completed. The only further action that is needed in this is yours. If you're in need of your soul salvation, if there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing. Yeah.